See, I didn't want to rely on my own, so I trusted in his word. And if some of you are kind of new, you'll find that I'm kind of sporadic and kind of crazy, and you just gotta pay attention, because if you don't, I could be someplace else. So, I didn't make a PowerPoint, but I did give you verses or what we're going to be talking about in your bulletins. And that's something new for me, because that's a third out of however many times I've been doing this that I've actually done a little piece of paper that you can follow along and look at. So let's go ahead and pray for our time here, and we'll dismiss the kids to children's church. So please join with me in prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, just allow this word to come generate and get in our hearts, Lord, and just get to us, and just help us just to realize what you want us to see, Lord. Help us see the visions and understand the visions that you give us and the dreams and the aspirations, Lord. Help us with that as we go about this day, this week, Lord. And I pray just for just relaxation on me, Lord. And I pray that I continue your word in a manner that is understandable and pleasing to the, not just the ears out there, Lord, but to your ears. And I pray that I just do my best to spread your word. So we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're in fifth grade or below, you can go to children's church, and Kitty in the back will be escorting the children back there. She's standing back there in the back, Emma. So if you're going to stay with me today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 10. I'm not going to go and read all of it, but that's where we're going. And I just want to kind of open up real quick. The gospel, if you haven't realized it, the Bible was for the Jews, the Jewish nation. We are an adopted family member, and I'm glad for that. But the primary people that God spoke to in the beginning was the Jewish nation. Those are his chosen people. But as a nation, they rejected what God had to say a lot of times. Remnants of Jews gladly received the good news in the gospel, but the continued rejection of the gospel by the vast majority of the Jewish nation led to the ever-increasing proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles, which is us. And this was all according to Jesus' plan, because in Acts chapter 7, we read, or chapter 1, the gospel was to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So it started out that the Jewish nation was the chosen people of God, but his word was to be spread far and wide to everyone. And we're going to see that today, and how this word can affect us, because us as Gentiles got to hear this word, got to believe in Jesus Christ, got to be saved because of it. But before I get started, let's take a look at some few examples on perspective real quick. Now, I kind of pulled these off the internet, and they're mostly kid stories, but none of these are mine. I wish, but none. So, these are a perspective. Kids' perspective on nudity. I was driving down with my 3-year-old one summer when a woman in a convertible ahead stood up and waved. She was naked from the waist up, and I was reeling from the shock. My 5-year-old shouts from the back seat, "Mom, she wasn't wearing her seatbelt." Perspective, right? Kids and honesty. My son, 4, came screaming out of the bathroom to tell me he dropped his toothbrush in the toilet. So I fished it out and threw it in the garbage. He stood there thinking for a moment, then ran to the bathroom, my bathroom, the adult bathroom, and came out with my toothbrush. He held it up and said, with a charming little smile, "We better throw this one out too because it fell in last week." Perspective, right? So, condiments. A woman was trying to get ketchup out of the bottle. Have you ever, you know, been out ketchup trying to get out of the bottle? You're holding up one hand, smacking the bottom, hoping it, and then all of a sudden it kind of comes out and it shoots clear across the room. Well, one parent was doing that, and the 4-year-old daughter was sitting there next to her, and her phone started to ring. So she tells the child, "Can you please answer my phone?" And she picks up the phone and says, "Hello?" And says, "Mommy, it's the pastor. He wants to talk to you." And she said, "Tell him, hold on a minute." So she gets back on the phone and says, "Mommy's hitting the bottle. She'll be here in a minute." Perspective, right? Kids think that's okay. More nudity. Kids and nudity are great. So a local one on YMCA, a little boy found himself lost in the YMCA, and he kind of wandered into the women's locker room by accident. When he was spotted, of course, the ladies let out a big barrel of shrieks, and everybody started grabbing towels and covering themselves. And this little boy watched in amazement as he said to everybody, "What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a little boy before?" And then there was the one where the mother took the child to the elderly daycare center. She took her 4-year-old during her rounds because she went on some rounds for some meals to some of these shut-ins. And her daughter, 4-year-old daughter, was being amazed at some of the equipment that she's never seen before, walkers and canes and all kinds of stuff that she'd never seen before, intriguing her until she saw some teeth in a glass of water. And the mom looked at it and said, "Uh-oh, there's going to be problems here." And the little girl looks at her mom and says, "Tooth fairy's not going to believe that one." And then there was the little girl who went to school. She finished her first week of her first time at school. She comes home to her mom, "I'm just wasting my time. I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just wasting my time." So, little stories on perspective and how to see things differently, sort of saying. So in kids have the best new eyes. And the Lord even tells us in Matthew, he says, "I tell you, unless you change and become like this little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes you have to think like a kid. You have to start over from the very beginning and think like that kid. Because that's what we have to do. It's so true. Even on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, we're told that blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And seeing that we are all children of God, we should look at things with new eyes and a new perspective, being children ourselves. So let's read in Acts chapter 10. Starting at verse 1, Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear and said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now from there, we can see a whole mess of things. Can we not? First thing we find out about him from the start is that he is a heathen. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he's from Italy at that. But he was also a soldier. His daily life led him to consistently be in barracks among followers of a legion of loose homeless creatures whose lives were apt to be immoral. Still, we must be fair because, you know, if you look in the Bible, there's at least 4 centurions that were talked about in the New Testament. One of them, or each of them, has left behind a most credible record. The first one is in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus commended for his remarkable faith. "If you just say the word, my servant will be healed." One of them bore witness to the divinity of the Lord Jesus on the cross as he passed away. In Mark chapter 15, one of them was of much help and comfort to the apostle Paul and was at what was nearly the lowest point in his fortunes as he's being taken on a prison ship to be put on a prison island. The centurion lets him leave and take care of friends before he leaves. And the fourth one. The fourth one is Cornelius. And we see that. So war is hard. These guys. Piety in military life is pitiful, like almost like an alpine flower trying to come up through the snow and the heavy weight of the snow and the water. And yet it blossoms on a rock right beside a glacier. So it is the more beautiful when you succeed in its pure purpose. And thirdly, we see that he was a government officer. He was somebody of high standing. The army that he was, that army of possession was in a sense of political. In natural ways for the spirit of authority to generate arrogance and true piety invariably demands humility and charity. As a matter of fact, it is known that Palestine in those days was a hotbed of corruption. Roman officers oppressed and fleeced conquered inhabitants unmercifully. And all this was against Cornelius. He was a heathen, a Gentile. He was a military man. He was a politician. He had it all going for against him. But it's edifying to learn that through all of this, he asks and can still be saved. But there's also other things we can learn from him. If if the Jews on this account, the fact that Roman soldiers were being so mean to them, had a negative view towards their Roman masters and the Roman troops, the feeling was very much reciprocated by the Romans. Because pagan Rome at that time was the epitome of arrogance. Romans thought they were superior civilization because they could take over and conquer a country that they just wanted at no problem. They believed that they ruled the world because they alone were wise and powerful. And they viewed most other people and their cultures as being inferior. Most Roman soldiers and their officers shared that contempt for the people. Though officially prohibited, it was not uncommon to see Roman troops oppress the people they were conquered and ruled over. And these were probably the cases here. Roman soldiers were guilty of assaults and robberies. Their officers, if they were not doing the same, would turn a blind eye to the misdeeds. This was just an indication of the arrogance and disregard they had for the people that they conquered. But what an amazing contrast we find in Cornelius here. Big contrast. He was devoid of prejudice. It's evident that he did not look down on the Jewish people. Rather than being contemptuous of the Jewish race and their customs, he showed them courtesy and respect. And as we'll see, he demonstrated in many ways that courtesy and that respect. His lack of arrogance and prejudice is most clearly apparent in the adopting of God, Jehovah. Because pagan Rome believed in multiple gods at that time. If you didn't believe in those multiple gods, you were pretty much shunned as not a Roman. So we can see in chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, his devotion to God. We see that he and his whole house feared God. He took an interest in the well-being of his subordinates in his house. He did not regard himself as just a mere ruler. Too many officers treat their men that way when they get higher ups. They're just somebody who works for them. We read that he gave generously to the needy. He was a man of large-hearted liberality. How many of us could say that we give large? Or do we look at our end of the year tax statements and say, yep, I gave enough? No, I don't. And he prayed to God regularly. How many of us have, during that drive to or from work, or that quick split second to where you're trying to hurry up and do something, you pray to God and say, Lord, please let this happen. Thank you. Amen. Or we're in our car driving someplace talking to God and we're praying not with an open heart or even our eyes closed. But it's not really praying that we're doing. It's a full conversation, yes. But it's mostly a one-sided conversation. You're telling God what you want and how do you want to do it. It shouldn't be the other way around. You should be listening to what he wants and doing how he wants you to do it. He prayed like a man who expected to receive that answer. He would do anything to get that. I'm sure he prayed to continue his relationship with the Lord. That partial answer came when he said, Cornelius, send men to Joppa for Peter. Have him come back and tell you about my son. So we can see a good deal of favor in Cornelius. He's a great guy, isn't he? Prayed hard, gave to the needy, trained his whole family. He's a good guy, isn't he? Work stops, though. He's just a good guy. He has to be told the rest of the story. And this is where Peter comes in. The angel of the Lord said, go find Peter. Find Peter. Bring him back. Cornelius was seeking hard, wanting to know God, wanting to come closer. And God tells him, go find Peter. Could the angel have told him? I'm sure it could have. But why would an angel have to tell the story of Christ when we're the ones that fell from sin? So shouldn't we be the ones that tell how to get ourselves free of sin? So we see that Cornelius is not saved yet. He's not saved, because why would you send somebody to be a saved man to save an unsaved, or saved man to save a saved man? Let's continue in Acts chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. Verse 12. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter. Kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back from heaven. We're going to stop here at verse 23. God was preparing this great apostle to share this good news about Jesus with the Gentile household of Cornelius. But before this could be done, he had to change his perspective. Peter had to rethink what God told him. See, in the beginning, they were told to set certain animals apart because they were clean and unclean. But like I said in the beginning, that was to make them different, to make them the promised people, the chosen people, to set them apart from others at that particular time. They're an increased nation now. God didn't say, never ever eat clean and unclean animals or mix the two. He just said, set them, I'm doing this to set you apart for me. One of the great byproducts of finding God is finding out what He gives you the potential to see from a brand new perspective. He gives you the potential to see things differently. And I say potential because Scripture today illustrates how even though Peter was one of the most notable followers of Christ, we know that he had trouble in the beginning. And Peter's a guy I look up to myself. I can relate to Peter a lot. Because in the very beginning, he's like, yeah, Lord, go, Lord. I'm there for you, Jesus. And then at times in his life, he ran from those options. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before this night's over. And he's like, no, I got your back, Lord. I'm here. Somebody said, aren't you that guy that hung around with Jesus? And he's like, nope, it's me. Never met the guy before. So right now we have potential. Peter was steeped in Jewish bias against the Gentiles. God had to repeat for a second time, Peter's view was not the same as God's view. So this story emphasizes how we need to ask God to help us see things from His perspective. From time to time, we need to be open to a refreshing vision from God. Our problems are often a matter of perspective. Our view is not always God's view, and we sorely need God's view in our lives. The story of Simon Peter teaches us some important values. This first one is we need to be told a second time, or we need to look a second time at our motives of things. Peter is not the only Christ follower to ever have problems with being willing to exchange his perspective for God's. When he initially refused God's overtures and the vision God gave him, he probably not only thought of the strict Jewish heritage, but also of other Jews. He probably thought to himself, what would my family think? What would my friends think? Well, if I make changes, how will I worship if I don't know? God's word isn't telling us in this story that we shouldn't be concerned about what others or how others see us. We should be concerned about how He sees us. The purpose of our life is to please God. We were created to please God. We were created to serve Him. When that becomes our primary motivation in life, other things begin to fall in place. If you worry too much about pleasing men, you will have problems for a lot of reasons. People are fickle. People do strange things. And they have other motives in mind. People do weird stuff. A label on an electric blender warns, never remove food or other items from the blades while product is operating. I'd be told not to reach in my hand in the blender bowl? Yes, because it's happened probably. Digital thermometers can be used two different ways. How many people knew that? Digital thermometers could be used two different ways. And there's a warning on it that says, once used rectally, do not use orally. I have to be told about that. People do strange things. A warning on a kid's scooter bike. You know the battery operated ones that go? Maybe you throttle it. Warning, product moves. That's why I bought it, so it would move. But these are actual warnings on actual items. A toilet brush. Get this. A toilet brush. See what they look like, right? Curved, bristly, hard, scrubby. Not to be used as personal hygiene. I kid you not. Don't wash your back with a toilet brush. People do strange things. But it's occurred in our culture because of inordinate amount of concern, because of lawsuits, because of what people might think about us. We kind of get off the track when we bend too much for the concern of what others think. We have to live our life to please God. That's the perspective that Peter needed. That's the perspective that we need. We need to live to please God. Next thing we need to look at is our methods. Our methods. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. God was making Cornelius want to come to him. So he was also dealing with the Apostle Peter to go to Cornelius. You ever notice in Scripture that for the follower of Christ, a follower, He always says, go. For the follower of Christ, he says, go. For the seeker, what does he say? Come. Come. If you're a follower of Jesus, go. Go out there. Use what he gave you to the best of your ability to go. Find those seekers and help them come. If you deviate from God's motive in your life, you tend to lose your groove. If you deviate from his method, your success is usually thwarted, and you focus on efforts on going to those people God is dealing with. Or we need to focus on efforts of going to those people. People like Cornelius. Go to the people whom God is dealing with us and tell them to come to him. And lastly, we need to look at our misconceptions. Peter's diet was kosher. He only ate what the law said a good Jew could eat. But in order to reach everyone that God wanted to be reached, he could have broadened his menu. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 through 9, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. And a light for the Gentiles. To open eyes that are blind. To free captives from prison. And to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is Old Testament. Isaiah. Talking about Jesus. He's like, I'm not just going to send you to the chosen nation. They already know about me. I want everybody else to come. Many people harbor faulty assumptions about themselves or other people or their own circumstances. To wrongly assume something about another is to entertain prejudice that may tend to block communication, relationships, and cooperation. In this passage, we discover how the Lord helped Peter overcome his faulty knowledge or ideas, his misconceptions. Through history, it's been hard to find a greater hostility than that of Jews had for Gentiles. The Jews felt ostensibly hatred toward the Gentiles because of their beliefs, but their behavior and their historical strong feelings of dislike to everything that the Jews represented. Finally, Peter heard the Lord, what God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. Only when we realize that God is the one who wants us to give up all prejudicial assumptions, we can begin to gain proper perspective. We need to ask the Lord to help us gain that cleansing, empowering, and transforming of thinking to overcome our faulty presuppositions. Because, you know what? We're all made in the image of God. And we have all sinned. All of us. Not just the one sitting in this sanctuary, in this building. Not just the guy across the street. Not just the guy in the next 49 contiguous United States. Peter assumed that the Gentiles were unclean, difficult, and unreceptive toward God's truth. He could not have been farther from the truth. Often people assume that people will be unresponsive, and so they hesitate to share. Many of us spend more money on probably bags of dog and cat food than we do on maybe missions. So trust the Lord that he will not allow his word to return without accomplishing all that he intends. Peter had to get over his feelings of partiality as he learned that God is no respecter of persons. God sees all people equally, needing his truth. Often our assumptions about reality are different from God's ideas. It's easy to try to assume that we should relate only to people according to their socioeconomic class, or maybe their education level, or maybe their rank or their standing in society. Maybe their religion. Peter had to realize that his hierarchy assumptions were faulty and needed to be replaced with God's impartial views. So ask the Lord to help you not fear anyone, but to present that truth to Him. Peter had to get over his feelings of pride, his self-righteousness, and his traditionalism that kept him from reaching those who needed Christ. However, Peter's pride stood in the way of God's will for his life. So trust the Lord to help you overcome those feelings. Those feelings of pride that tend to obscure our understanding of truth about God. Help us overcome those differences of different religions out there, that just because they're a different religion doesn't mean they can't come to Christ. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men, not some. Not this group, not that group. All. Every single one of us. Every 3.2 million, billion, however many people are on this planet. All of us. And it also says we're all made in the image of God. All of us. Philip Yancey has some comments here. Taking God's assignment seriously means that I look at the world upside down as God does. Instead of seeking out people who stroke my ego, I find those whose egos need stroking. Instead of important people with resources who can do me favors, I find people with few resources. Instead of the strong, I look for the weak. Instead of the healthy, I look for the sick. It is not how God reconciles the world to Him. Is it not this how God reconciles the world to Himself? Jesus came for the sinners and not for the righteous, for the sick and not the healthy. Philip Yancey continues, I cannot help but notice the tenderness that which Jesus treated people with wounds caused by moral failure. A Samaritan woman with 5 failed marriages, a dishonest tax collector, an adulteress, a prostitute, a disciple who denied Him. And all these received forgiveness and reinstatement instead of judgment that they probably deserved. They got forgiveness. They got reinstatement into the kingdom. Jesus saw in people not that they had been, but what they could be. Not their past, but their future. And as we take communion today, I just want us to all remember that. It's not about you. I hate to say it. It's all about Him. It's all about that other person that doesn't know about Christ. I think we have enough elders here this morning for communion. No? We have John. 2, 4. 3. Could I have you guys come up, please, so we can give communion? You know, I want us to just think about, as you take the bread, as you take the wine, think of this. You know, what has God meant for me? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? What prejudice do I need to get over? You know the biggest word I hear at work a lot? Muslim. Sure, some of them might be bad. But you know what? Maybe they haven't heard the word. Maybe they need to hear the word. Maybe they're our Cornelius and we're their Peter. Somebody out there has to be told the word. They're seeking it. They're looking for it. God says, go to us as the Christians we are, so that he can say, come to them. So, you have to forgive me for a second, because I'm just going to read out of some bookmarks I have here real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Today, as we take communion, we're gonna take our hunger, we're gonna take our thirst, and we're gonna use that for the greater God. So as you take communion today, think of that hunger and thirst you have inside you. As you take that communion, remember what his blood has done for you, what his brokenness as a body has done for you. I'm going to pass around the food, or the bread and the wine. And if you guys could wait to the end, I'm going to pass them both out. So if we could wait to the end to take these together. So we'll do that.